Okay, let's turn to Philippians chapter 1 in your Bible. Seems like we never have enough time to get through this series on the biblical basis and biblical truths surrounding a Baptist church. But these are important truths today. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Here we have one verse in the Bible that puts in that single verse the two offices in the New Testament church. And last week we talked about how the word bishop in the Bible refers to the same office, same person as the elder, the same person as the pastor. The pastor really has three names: a bishop, the elder, the pastor. He also has the title. Different words. The word bishop is really the word overseer. So tell me, let's see how well you are listening. I'll give you multiple choice, okay? This way everybody has to vote, okay? What verse in Acts equates the pastor, the bishop, and the elder? I'll give you three choices. Acts 10:24, Acts 16:5, or C, Acts 20:28. How many vote for A? How many vote for B? How many aren't going to vote? Okay. How many vote for C, Acts 20:28? Oh, good. Either you were listening or you know that was the answer by looking at somebody else. Okay. Okay, what other book of the Bible, and its first chapter, gives us that those three words refer to the same person? We'll give you a multiple choice again. What book in the Bible, the first chapter, relates the office of the pastor, of the elder, and the bishop as the same office? Let's see. Revelation chapter 1, James chapter 1, or 1 Peter chapter 1? Or D, you aren't going to vote. Okay. A, Revelation 1. Who's going to vote for that? How about James 1? How about 1 Peter 1? Okay, that's the right answer. Okay, so turn to 1 Peter 1 quickly, just so you are reminded of it. 1 Peter 1. Actually, I meant 2 Peter. Actually, I'm totally wrong. It's chapter 5. Yeah, that was a tricky multiple choice. You all should have voted on D, okay? Pastor doesn't even know the Bible. Okay, 1 Peter 5, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, witness of the suffering of Christ, partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you. Who feeds the flock? Pastor. Taking the oversight thereof. Who oversees the work? The bishop. The bishop is the overseer. The pastor is the feeder of the flock. The elder is the title of the dignity of the office. All right? So... There are not multiple offices of different pastors. There aren't elders and cardinals and bishops and archbishops and all those things. There's only pastors. Only pastors. Not all these other denominational titles. Why? Number one, because all those offices refer to the same person who is actually the pastor in a local church. Number two, in the Bible, there is no such thing as denominations. No such things as denominations. Okay? And so you aren't going to find those words used any other way in the Bible than of the pastor of the New Testament church. Okay? Now let's go to talk about the deacon. Okay? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now notice in the Bible there's two offices. The pastor and the deacon. That tells us something. That tells us what is said of the pastor and the deacon are in principle the leadership standards of the church. Understand what I'm saying? In principle, those are the leadership standards of the church. Now, we have Sunday school teachers, and we have ushers, and we have all these other things, but really in the Bible, we have two offices, pastor and deacons, and they would be considered the spelled out leaders of a church, and they have different roles, but their qualifications for these men, and that would indicate that the Bible requires and gives the idea of leadership standards in a church. There is requirements of leadership. Okay? Now, the word deacon in the Bible is the word servant. The word deacon in the Bible is the word servant. All right, and the implication, and we won't go to Acts 6 right now, but the implication is that the deacon is a highly spiritual man his ministry centered around physical needs of the ministry. Physical needs of the ministry. Now, contrary to Western thinking is, well, the physical things aren't very important, so anybody can do them. You realize that is a, I wish that were so, but that is not so. That is not so. You know, physical duties in a church take a lot of spirituality. And actually, people who do physical duties in the church and are not spiritually equipped to do it, many times that's where trouble starts. Because it takes a lot of spirituality to do physical things. Now, if you go soul winning itself builds you up spiritually. But when you do something physical, that does not necessarily build you up. It may wear you out, and it may take all the spiritual strength you have to do it in a good spirit and in the spirit, But it does not in itself help you grow spiritually, if you know what I'm saying. Now, let's think about that for a minute. It's a very important thing. In Acts chapter 6, notice they were going to have somebody give the food to the widows. They're going to give someone give food to the widows. Now, do you think anybody could do that? I mean, somebody ought to be able to drive a car. I don't think they had cars back in those days. And get the plate, the food, and take it over to the widow's house. That doesn't seem to be such a challenging a thing. But notice what it says in Acts chapter 6 when there was this need. And it was too much for the disciples because of the multiplicity of the disciples that were widows. And because there was a automatic kind of a faction between the Grecians and the Hebrews, and one was being neglected. And so Acts chapter 6, it says, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so, here we find that in specifics, it says, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and obviously full of wisdom. And now some of the qualifications fit the job. They certainly needed wisdom. They needed to be people of good report, etc. But it was a physical job. And it called for the highest of spiritual qualifications. Now, if you turn to me to 1 Timothy 3, it has talk about the deacons. Likewise, the deacons must be grave. That's very serious-minded, not double-tongued. That means they don't say one thing to one person, another thing to another. Not given to much wine. That means they are people of self-control. It's not talking about alcohol. It's talking about grape juice. Not greedy, a filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree or good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And notice verse 9 was very interesting. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Notice their attitude about the Bible. Notice their reputation about truth. Notice their life of one being a very conscientious person, very conscience-oriented person. And conscience is obviously closely related to doctrine. We learn that in the Bible. 1 Timothy 1:19, it says, holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith hath made shipwreck. Many people's wrong beliefs have to do with the fact that they lose their conscience. And so people, when they lose their conscience, they start changing their convictions. Ever notice that? People, when they lose their conscience, then they say, no, it wasn't, the pastor influenced me to, you know, not to go to movies. It was the pastor that influenced me. and they start changing their convictions. Well, it's because they lost their conscience. And now they start losing their convictions and their beliefs. And when people lose their conscience, you just watch them, their beliefs just start eroding. A deacon is one that holds a mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. That's a very strong verse there. And notice the emphasis that a deacon, his qualifications are as well go over to his wife. Okay? Because of a number of reasons. But the deacon is really the leader of the lay people in the church. And his wife would need to be as well a leader by example of all the lay people in the church. And in a practical way, how would I say this? You know, I would say that, you know, people perhaps would maybe expect the pastor to believe certain things because he's the pastor. But you know, when your deacons believe it, all of a sudden it takes a whole different dimension. That becomes the standard for the lay people of the church. Let's put it the different way. Okay? Let's put it that Pastor Roberts preaches such, and Brother Rain says, you know what that would equivalent be? The equivalent would be Pastor Roberts might as well not preach again. Might as well not preach a thing. Might as well just preach jellyfish, jelly bean sermons. Because if the deacon doesn't live it and doesn't believe it, then nobody else is going to believe it. The odds of somebody else doing right is almost negligible. I mean, we're dealing with human beings here. You know, in that sense, the deacon is one of the most important people in the church as far as the preaching goes. Because if he doesn't believe it and he doesn't live it, you won't have a church. Because it doesn't mean anything. And now, take it. The problem is, a lot of places, they say we're going to have deacons, and so it really doesn't matter if they meet the biblical qualifications or not. We need to have some deacons. So what if they choose deacons that don't meet the biblical qualifications? You know what you just did? You just eliminated the integrity of the preaching. You might as well not preach against anything that touches, steps on people's toes. You might not preach anything that really, where the rubber hits the road, because everybody's going to have an excuse not to listen. And, you know, that's probably the number one problem today in churches is that they have deacons who aren't qualified. And therefore, the preacher really can't preach against really much of anything. And if he does, it's only going to be some rare bird that's going to listen to what he has to say. I mean, it's a very practical thing. But it really sits around that whole principle. He must hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. You know, most churches, a deacon is a popularity contest. It's the contest of the person who is the best people person. Or it's the person who, you know, is the better leader. You know, a really good leader. They, you know, I mean, you can be quite an influential person. Very much a leader. That doesn't mean you're spiritual. You know, you can get things done and you can encourage people to make the right decision, but that doesn't mean they're qualified to be a deacon. And of course we look here. It talks about the deacon, talks about his wife, talks about his family. It talks about his influence. It talks about his life. Acts tells us that he is a man full of the Holy Ghost. Here it says that he is a person that's very much under self-control, a very person of character. These are important. These are important principles, and kind of just putting it simple. A church would be better off not to have a deacon than to have one that's not qualified. A church would be better off to have one deacon that's qualified than have four where one is qualified and three aren't. a deacon is a man who ought to be a man of strong belief and of strong life and a strong testimony, because actually he is the leader of the lay people of the church. He is the leader of the lay people of the church. And that leadership is definitely a spiritual one. And that definitely gives us a great picture here. And we'll close because our time is up. And I say this because many times we forget that, and I've learned this so many times, physical work takes real spirituality. Physical work takes real spirituality. There's no reward in physical work. There's nobody going to, you know, hopefully you don't clean the church for someone to pat you on the back. No one's going to pat you on the back. No one's probably going to say, good job. I mean, it'd be nice. But, you know, and next, the next service, you know what? It's going to have to get cleaned again. You notice that? Next service going to be, need another crew to clean it. And next week going to be another crew to clean it. And you know what? Some kid is going to put their fingers on the, on the, on the window that you just washed, you know? And, whatever. Obviously, you can just say, well, that's right. It takes a lot of spirituality to do the physical. Because it's easy to it's easily tested. Put it that way. It's easily tested. And, but those are other things that we would need to talk about. But that's, so, Steve, when you get to Africa, okay, the best man in the church going to be your deacon? Not necessarily. Not if he doesn't meet the biblical qualifications. He could be the best man, but doesn't mean he's qualified to be a deacon. Why? Because the Bible gives us the qualifications of the deacon. And they can't compromised. So what does that mean? It means you wait. It means you pray. And maybe a good thing right now, pray ahead of time. That you get men that will be biblical leaders. And what a difference that makes. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the truths of the Word of God. And Lord, we are reminded that the Word of God gives us your plan. And it is our duty to follow your plan. Not to make a new plan, but to follow your plan. And Lord, I pray that this would be a challenge to each one of us. I pray that, Lord, that men, young men in this church, that they would be the kind of people that would be deacon material. Help them not to live a frivolous life and lose your plan and the opportunity to serve as they could. And Lord, we would pray that you would be glorified. And we thank you, Lord, for the deacons that we have. Thank you for their lifestyle. Thank you for their convictions. And thank you, Lord, for their ability to do the physical without complaining and without needing praise or recognition, but doing it for you. We pray you, Lord, now bless our time of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.